Greetings, one and all, and welcome to the Apocalypse Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Owen, and happy 2023. Today, we're going to start off the first episode of the year with a review. A show I watched myself. It's the first season of That 90s Show. Now, I'll just say right now, if you have, that there's a lot to spoil about it. So if you have not seen it and you don't want to be spoiled, now would be a great chance to go and watch it. But if you don't care, or just don't think you'll ever watch it at all, but just like hearing people talk, then I will continue as we keep going. So That 90s Show, based on, as you might know, from the trailer when it came out, is about Eric and Donna's daughter, Leia, spending time back in Point Place with her grandparents. So instead of going the obvious route that people thought, which was to, you know, they're like, well, you'd think, oh, it's going to be at Eric and Donna's house. Like, they're just going to do that same trope. They said, no. What if we bring back Ren and Kitty? And it's their house, but it's a little more updated to reflect the fact that it's the 90s now. You know, it still looks old school, but it's not too 70s. It's got that clash of things, you know. It's like you got like a 90s TV, but you still got that, like, you know, maybe you got some, like, 70s carpet or something like that. Or maybe some wallpaper that's from the 70s. Things like that. You know, I think Red still has the same car from the 70s, I think. Could be an 80s car, I'm not sure. Anyways. So in the show, you're introduced to not just Leia, but the other kids that live there. So in this show, there's totally new neighbors that live next to Red and Kitty. They have a mother who's not... I'm not going to say that she's Donna's mom in terms of being a dumb blonde, but it is kind of like that. It was a Midge, right? So it's kind of similar to Midge a little bit, maybe a little more if Midge had, like, Red's personality, I guess, in a way. But, so she's got two kids, a son and a daughter, single mom in her 40s, and, oh my god, I can't think of the girl's name for the life of me. I can't think of the brother's name either. The brother wears a Packers jersey, and it's the only thing I can remember. He's big guy, and he's got a girlfriend who's like she's kind of like Jackie, but actually is smart, but her personality is very Jackie-esque, in a way. And on top of that, it's like all these, and then there's this one kid who's sort of the, I don't know, he's the token gay kid, I guess. Luckily, he's written not as how a 90s stereotype would write a gay character, as much as how you might say, like, Modern Family might write a gay character. Where it's, they do things that you might expect a gay character to do in a sitcom, but not so abrasive that it's like, okay, we get it. He's gay. He's legitimately funny. In fact, his personality is basically just being a straight man for the most part, which is arguably why he works. So his sexuality has nothing to do with his character beyond maybe one episode. And there's ten episodes in season one. And I'll give a final score for the first season when we get there. As I always do with anything, it's what Justin and I always do, but I needed to get something out. And it's the end of February, and it's been too long, so here we are. So what else about the show? Let's see. Oh, yes. So I'll say the first episode, you get the whole shabam. Here's Eric, here's Donna, here's their daughter. Here's Kelso, here's Jackie, yada yada. Because the twist is that Kelso and Jackie made a child, their son Jay Kelso. And Jay is, kind of like his dad, but definitely a little more restrained. There's sort of this idea that because of his family name, it's like, oh, he's the man whore, he's whatever. And it's like, the funny thing is that for all the stuff that his dad used to do in the past, he's actually quite the opposite in many ways, many regards. And I appreciate that. I wasn't sure what his character was gonna be. I just was looking at this, I was like, a lot of them just seem very cookie cutter, but which to the certain viewers, they might seem very cookie cutter, and they might go, "Oh, they're doing this thing, they're doing this." Repetition might be a problem in this show, and it's not too bad. It wasn't. They definitely let episode one kind of get a lot of that crap out of the way, for sure, which is fine. That's the then this way you're not just being like, oh, here's another guest star, oh, here's another guest star. So what's interesting is that Fez is sort of a big part of the show. Fez, who ironically actually was had a smaller part of the original show, actually has just as a little more presence here because he's dating the Red and Kitty's neighbor. And it's funny because now they can all talk to each other not as adults, and yes, and there you'll watch, and there's the obvious red obvious elephant in the room to point out, of course, is the fact that, well, gee, everyone's there except for one person, and I think we all know why on that one. I'm sure you've read the articles about that. I won't bring it up here, but the actor that played Hyde definitely did some unfortunate things that definitely prevented him from being able to appear on that Chinese show, which is unfortunate because Hyde has a very interesting background just in terms of him meeting his dad and all that in the original show. But shit happens, right? What are you gonna do? Not much, but. Also, and the only other person that got appeared more than once was Leo. Now everybody loves Leo. Everybody remembers Leo. He was the most. He was Tommy Chong, and Tommy Chong was told to play a hippie, and he played it to the max on that original show. And the funny thing here is that it's 15 years later in the show's universe, and he's still Leo, which I love. I don't know if it's, and I can't even say he's any more or less, ridiculous because he's Leo. It just proves that time can pass, like so many years have passed, and they bring Tommy Chong to do this role, and it's like he never forgot. And it makes sense, he was brought on for the obvious reasons. And here he is doing it. In fact, it's funny seeing a 90s hippie because it's not really a thing. But he's sort of he's kind of he's a different kind of hippie, I think. He's more of like a I guess like a nature hippie kind of thing. It's sort of like he's not just I'm living the 70s, man. It's more like it's the 90s, and he's kind of like one with nature a little bit because he's got like he's got like a walking stick and everything, and he's got like a poncho that he wears. It's very, you can tell he's very much different type of person altogether while still being Leo. And I appreciate that. And no sign of Randy. No Randy yet. Randy. I don't think Randy's coming back. I don't think so. Be very funny if he did. That's for the hardcore That 70 Show fans. Little Randy callback. I got you guys. So they do a lot of the typical stuff, the teenage romance, the stuff like this, the trying to be edgelords a little bit, trying to be independent and doing all the stuff. You know, it's very much like the original show. You feel the defiance that the kids have towards authority, and you see how different the parents are, since they themselves are, they're not looking at the world as, 15-year-olds anymore. They're looking at the world as, people that are, 40. And I think that's interesting. So it's cool to see, Eric still be obsessed with Star Wars, but still have the mentality of a parent, kind of thing when he's referring to Star Wars. And the thing that cracks you up is that not only did his dad always hate the fact that he loves Star Wars, but so does his daughter. So just bringing up the phrase, as Master Yoda said, makes not just Red, but also, on the inside and outside, just hearing it. And I think that cracks me up that they have something in common. You also do get to see, of course, it's like, well, the logic would be, well, we were on the original show, well, Kitty and Red had neighbors. It was Donna, because it was Donna's house. Donna's parents lived there. Well, Donna's mom doesn't appear to be a part of the universe at the moment. I don't know if she is yet. She might, I don't know if she's officially out of it. I forget that. They might have been, I think they might have divorced and she might have just been gone forever in the original, something like that. But now Bob never was. So Bob comes back a few later on, because the idea is, she's got a grandfather on both sides, You got to justify it. And it's nice to see that Bob is very much still the same person he was back then. He's very much like, you can tell that he's still the way that he was with Donna. But just sort of, but now he's kind of a little extra goofy because he's a grandfather, so he can kind of, play it up a bit. And I respect that. I like that you don't have to change things about it. In fact, if anything, Red's probably the biggest change. Kitty's about the same, for sure. And Red is a little less abrasive because he's a retired man. So he's not, he's not working. He's actually got a garden that he grows and food and stuff like that. It's interesting. Like, he's still Red. He still has his anger moments. He's still him. But it's more, it's less I'm lashing out at everybody and more just I'm surrounded, I'm surrounded by idiots, like Scar says. It's that mentality. It's I'm old and, he's, they're just kind of content with each other. They've been married long enough where Kitty can just kind of, throw the gauntlet down and go, no, I don't have to listen to everything you say. And Red is sort of, more compliant than usual because he's aware that that Kitty has a little more oomph to her. And it's just nice to see Red kind of have more of a, he does have a softer side. He always did. He is, obviously the whole joke in the original is the idea that Red can't say I love you, especially to Eric. And he does once, but he's like high on, was it? He went to like the dentist or something, so he's like high off of the, you know, laughing gas or whatever that they used at the time. And then Kitty has to stop him. So now it's at a point where they don't really, or they don't really have to say it to each other, but it's just kind of, they know. You know, it's cool that now Eric and Red just kind of can see stuff on, you know, very much on a similar level in many ways. And it's funny that a lot of them are still themselves. Donna's still Donna. Kelso literally comes and saying, "Burn!" You know, as Kelso does. And Jackie is somehow even more of a bitch than she used to be. Which is unfortunate, but, you know, good on her anyways. What else? It's got the same, it's got the transitions, but updated. There's a whole thing about setting up a computer. Making references to things in the 90s, like they did in the original show. Currently, the original show had sort of this general timeline that went between 1976 and ended on, essentially January 1st, 1980, more or less. But New Year's Eve, 79, technically speaking. However you want to look at it. So this one is set in 1995. To my knowledge, it showed basically the summer of 95, more or less. I don't know if that's how they're going to do it, or if they're just going to continue with the whole thing of, do they just, is it just Leia comes back every summer kind of thing, and they do it like that? Or are they going to do it like the original show, where they're going to show, you know, seasons changing to some degree? They did rain in an episode, so, but I mean, it rains a lot in the summer, to be fair. But I mean, it's like, are they gonna do something with Christmas or a Thanksgiving episode? Are they gonna write some weird Valentine's Day episode for just because they can? You know, they're gonna do shit like that. I don't know. And then also one thing that did bother me was the famous weed circle from the original show is very synonymous with that 70s show. Everybody knows it. That said, they do it in this show too, and I didn't like it here as much. For the most part, there's maybe one time where like Fez is just sitting in the circle with two of the kids smoking weed, which I thought was funny because he has no reason to be here. And Fez, quick side note, Fez, by the way, on the show runs a salon. He is dressed. He looks like he was, if you've ever seen that photo of The Rock from the 90s with the fanny pack, he looks like that. Minus the fanny pack. But literally the same, like, turtleneck and jeans. It is the 90s after all. And he has his hair stylized and everything. And you even find out that there's a gentleman that used to ran an apartment that Fez lived in the original show. Actually, was funny enough, also ended up being their Red and Kitty's neighbor's landlord, because they have history. And then the funny thing is that he manages to kind of, you know, cave and, you know, do the right thing, because he realizes holding a grudge does not solve anything. And, it, you know, sometimes just having the upper hand is all you need. It's you know, play it smart. But back to the weed circle thing. most of the time it's just the same shit, and I don't know. I feel like, and the jokes I feel like maybe line a little bit better than the original show just because of how they're told and maybe what they're about. There's something about the fact that, you know, that in the circle it would usually be that the most paranoid was usually Eric, and then Kelso would say something stupid, but it was usually funny because of how ridiculous it sounded. And there's just something, and you know, you think the 70s, you think weed. It's just, you don't think the 90s and think weed, you think fucking Super Nintendo. So there's just that aspect. And also, they went a little far with the scene, which I won't ruin in the show, but they do a thing that is straight from the original show, which is the, what was it? Is in the original show, there's a scene where the kids get caught by a kid in a rug, and they're sitting there, and the room is just kind of spinning a little bit, kind of, you know, it's kind of moving back and forth like boom boom, like a metronome, and that's fine. You know, everybody experiences weed differently anyways. That's true of any drug, but normally weed has, you know, is calming effects, but it can cause paranoia, but in some people, but it usually doesn't cause anything too extreme. And shows like to kind of play up the fact that weed is like taking a trip, and it's like, well, it's kind of. And I also kind of play it off of the fact that, well, weed was a lot different back in the 70s. There used to be stuff that they would sell that was like really, really strong stuff, which you could argue is so good that it actually might make you start to kind of like see shit to some degree. So, but it was very much just, you know, they're just kind of like, whoa, whoa. Like the room is kind of shaking a little bit. Like, whoa. You know, that's all they're seeing. And they do the same joke with Leia, who, I, you know, she's never had weed before. But man, and at first she's doing everything right, where she's just like, you know, smiling a lot and hi. You know, it's when she's looking at her grandparents. That's when I'm like, I don't think she's smoking weed down there. I'll just say it. And I'll let you guys watch if you so choose, and you'll see what I mean. And I would love to hear what people think about this. I'll tell you, if there's any, there's just some episodes I've done where I wish I had people send comments back and be like, about this. And this would be one that I really would hope that people would say stuff about. I'm still trying to figure it out, and I don't know, maybe I gotta find a way to, you know, really make sure that people know how to do that if I can, because I think it's something that you can do set up through, like, it's set up through here, but I feel like it, I don't know, you can like send it on Spotify or something. I don't remember. There's some link that I can send out, so I have a friend I'm gonna try it with, but and see if they get it, and then if they can send anything. But I digress. You know, some of this, you know, you definitely got to see when you see. But for the most part, it's a pretty decent watch, I'd say. It's nothing. It's nice. It's a nice binge because every episode is literally 20 minutes. I shit you not. You will fly by, like, just bam. It will be probably, you'll watch the episodes and it'll probably not even be, you know, maybe not even an hour will have passed. That's how fast it will go by. So if you want an easy watch, there's that too. It's also just nice if you want to just kind of have some, you know, visual stimuli while you're doing something. You know, maybe some background noise, whatever. It's fine, you know. To me, it could be better, it could be worse, and you know what, I'm happy that they at least tried with something, and I hope that season 2 does a lot to change. I'm curious to see what they do. Will they just stick to the summer? Will that maybe that will be the gimmick? Because it's on Netflix. I should emphasize that, by the way. It's a Netflix show. So, and I know, and it might sound a little off-putting being that Netflix as well. Netflix, but I'll just say right now, I hardly have ever find stuff to watch. So to find something I could at least breeze through and remember stuff about it all, yeah, I mean, I'd rather have that than nothing. I watch the same shit over and over and over again, believe me. I got people that can prove that. I never stopped watching Futurama. I never stopped watching House. It's just comfort food, so to speak. And you know what? For some people, this could be their comfort food. And you know what? I'll say this: if you like the original show, check this out. Give it a few episodes. Get through episode one. Because everything after that is more or less just, you know, actual plots in the show. Things like Kitty wanting to get out of, you know, retirement and be a nurse again, which she actually gets the job, I'll just say. I'm curious to see what happens with that. Maybe she'll do that. What's funny is that the way that she's imagining herself as a nurse is actually in her 70s garb and not what they might be wearing at that point. But I guess it's a school nurse, so I'm not sure if this was the right or wrong way to do it, but I think it's funny that it's like, it's a going from being an actual nurse in a hospital to wanting to at least be something. And you really get to see Kitty in Red just kind of, you feel the attachment with them. You can tell that they very much are the main stars of the show and everything else is secondary. Which to me, that's nice. It's, to me, the kids are important. And it's funny because they're usually kind of the A plots, and anything else with Kitty and Red is usually the B plot. But oftentimes, it's just so meshed well together, I think. And as I told someone, I said, this is not a 9 out of 10 show, but it's not under 5. And we'll explore that when we get to the second part of this and I give my final score. But I just mean that, but I play that mentality with a lot of stuff. I watch movies, you know, you go into a movie, you never want to go into a movie with high expectations. Unless you know that the person that made this movie is good at what they do. If you go in and you know this director is a good director, you know, like, people went into, say, Avatar 2, not sure what to think. They're like, well, James Cameron's a great director, but they also have the mentality of, I'm watching a sequel to a movie that in and of itself was maybe not that memorable for people. So definitely don't come into this going, oh, it's a sequel show, so I should just immediately brush it off. I got a friend that despises that 70s show for, you know, his own reasons. And that's, you know, whatever, you know, everybody has their own opinions. I'm not sure what specifically he hates about it. I wouldn't, if he said Ashton Kutcher, I probably wouldn't blame him, but I feel like explaining to somebody that the 70s was just full of stupidity like that, it's like, well, you can't hate a show that's technically doing the right thing, but plus it had all those guest stars and stuff. And it really helps when you come from a family of old people that that live this stuff. Thus, you learn about these people. I'll say they have not done that yet. They have one guest star from a show. I will not say what 90s show it was, but from a show from the 90s that was on at the time. I'll say that it's one of the. I'll say that it's a was a teen show, and I'll leave it at that. I didn't know the gentleman myself, but it was an actor from the show. I'm not sure what he played on the actual show back in the 90s, but he was clearly from that show, which I was at least able to gather. I was like, well, even when you don't entirely know something, you can just kind of piece it together. And they do a whole, like, montage of 70s said show and everything. So it's pretty cool. You know, it's very much... I think they did stuff in the original show like this. Just keep in mind that one, this is on Netflix, so it's going to be made a certain way, and the other show was on network TV. The original show had what? And then, what, 8 seasons, right? On network TV, 98 to 2006. So, this just had one season, and 10 episodes is pretty normal for Netflix, so most people in the industry usually say 13 is the go-to number when they pitch a show. There's technically no such thing as a wrong number for a season. South Park can certainly prove that because they literally had an entire season that was, what, like 5 episodes or something. So, you know, numbers don't mean anything. It's quality that's what makes it stand out. So to me, we'll do that. And we'll talk about that and then any other last thoughts about the show right after this break.
Now back to the show. On Nick.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, for the... my final thoughts and for my official score for season 1 of the 90s show. And I can safely say that if you want an easy watch or you are a fan of the original show, it's worth at least checking out. Will you watch all 10 episodes? Maybe, maybe not. But you at least have an idea of whether or not it's at least reasonable of an experience for you. Some will love it, some will hate it, some will be somewhere in the middle about it. It's not by any means The Last of Us or anything. I don't think it needs to be anything that super high quality. It's just what it is. It's that 90s show. It's straightforward and to the point, which is what you want. In any, you know, in a follow-up to that show. So, with that in mind, I can safely say that on my scale, which is a simple 1 to 10, and maybe I'll even throw in a letter grade just for the hell of it, I give this show a final score of 7 out of 10. It is definitely above average, but it's not by any means what I would call a go-to show for everybody. It's a decent experience for this first season, and who knows, maybe next season might go up, it might go down. We'll just have to see what happens. But to me, it's more than a 5, because it's not just, you know, it's not mediocre, It's still decently made. It still feels like the original show, just in a different decade. And that's kind of what you want out of it, to be fair. And if I had to give it a letter grade, I mean, I'd probably give it a solid 7 out of 10. So 70%. Which, a 70% is like a C, I think. But it's a solid C plus to B minus. I would give the first season at least a B minus. So that's what matters. And with that, folks, welcome to 2023. Plenty more to come, and I'm sure I might end up doing a lot more solo stuff. We'll see. But that's why I'm here, to add a lot to the experience. I started it alone, and you know what? Sometimes you gotta trudge through it on your own as is. But I assure you, Justin will be back soon enough, and hopefully I can get other people in on it. I'll try to get Abe back, do another episode with him, Shit, what else? I still need to... I still owe John another episode. Last time didn't go very well. Even though I tried my damnedest to make it a fun episode, but, you know, situational stuff. I've got a list of things I'm interested in looking at for this year. We got definitely a lot coming up. We got a new season of Futurama coming up in, I think, April, I want to say. That's good. If the King of the Hill reboot comes out on Hulu as well, I'll look into that. The Mario movie's coming out in April. So that's a review to look forward to for sure. Definitely need to find some other retro things to review. If we think of some shows, maybe we'll watch them. Do like what we did with Foster's Home, something like that. But it's gonna be a good year for sure. There's a lot to look forward to. I can't wait. I hope you're just as excited as I am. And with that, folks, I hope you all enjoy yourself. Have a great night. Have a great day. Have a great whatever. Just don't get stuck thinking about whether or not you could have done things, whether or not you should do things. It's all about doing stuff in the moment. If I didn't go for it, I wouldn't have a podcast and people listening to me. So whether you're in the wasteland or not, some things never change. Whether a rabbit dog or LA traffic, some things will always be a nuisance. And remember, folks, there's a bottle of Nuka Quantum on the other end of the rainbow if you so choose to go for it. Take care, everybody. I'll see you around. Bye-bye.
An awesome day.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for hanging out and watching cartoons with us.
Yay.
We'll see you right back here tomorrow on Cartoon Network. Good night.